Well, this morning, we are taking a brief break from our series, Hard Sayings, to talk about something else. And there are a couple of reasons for this. First, I don't know about you, but the past 3 weeks have been a bit bruising. Not only that, but we've got some more challenging stuff in the weeks ahead of us to talk about. Taking a bit of a breather will leave us refreshed and ready to engage further with some of the other hard things Jesus said, because Jesus said some other hard things, and we're going to look at them. There's an even more pressing reason than that, though. Tonight begins our week-long marathon that is Vacation Bible School. And I've got to tell you, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I love VBS. It gives me a chance every year to be a big kid. Not that I'm not a big kid for most of the rest of the year, but it just gives me a better excuse. But this week, I get the pleasure of teaching the Bible study lessons to some of the older kids. There's just something fun about engaging with these guys and helping them understand the life-changing teachings of Jesus. As fun as the Bible study lessons are this year, though, most of you guys aren't going to get to be in on the action. So I wanted to give you a sneak peek at what the kids are going to be learning in the days ahead. But even though we're taking a break from our series, what we're going to talk about this morning, actually, it fits right in the little gap that we're creating. It is, in many ways, the perfect accoutrement to the last 3 weeks. Through our series, Hard Sayings, thus far, we've been emphasizing just how hard it is to be a follower of Jesus. Jesus himself made that clear. He didn't make any bones about it. Well, this morning, I want to remind you that even though it is hard, God hasn't left us unequipped for the challenges we'll face. He's never distracted by other things while we're trying to get through it. Through his word and his spirit and his body, the church, our God has left us with more than enough tools to get the job done. And in a particularly powerful way, the theme verse for VBS this week bears out this truth. The verse is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Now, 2 Peter, like its twin, was written to a group of believers who were living in a hostile culture. It was not one that was very thrilled with the idea of this Christianity. We're perhaps more familiar with that nowadays than we used to be. But unlike the first letter, 2 Peter, written right near the end of Peter's life, is not as focused on offering advice on how to bear up under the strain of hostilities that come along with being a follower of Jesus in such a culture. And instead, Peter changes his tone a bit to one of warning and encouragement. He warns the believers to be faithful in spite of the challenges because of the soon coming arrival of our Lord. He encourages them to remain on track by using some of the tools God has given them for that purpose. Check out what Peter has to say here. He writes, "His divine power has granted us to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence." Now there's a bunch of good and important stuff going on here. Peter's talking about the ways in which God equips us for the task of serving him. Look at what he says. For starters, if we're going to be equipped for kingdom work, it's not going to come primarily from us or anything else in the world. Too many individual followers of Jesus and even whole churches set out to serve the Lord but forget to involve the Lord in their movement. That's a lost cause every time. Any apparent success we might achieve following that path is only and ever going to be that apparent. We cannot do real and meaningful kingdom work unless we involve the King in it. Makes sense, right? Well, it's by Christ's divine power that we're made ready. And when Jesus provides this for us, he didn't go in halfway. By his divine power, we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, there's no tool we will need to live out of the life of Christ to mirror the character of God that we have not already been given. When you set about the work of Jesus in the world around you, there isn't anything you need that you don't have available in him. Okay, but how do we get access to these tools? It's a pretty natural question, right? Well, Peter tells us. Access comes through the knowledge of him who called us. While I have a decent collection of tools for many of the basic tasks you might have to do around the house, there's way more I don't have than I do. But this is okay, because I know the secret. The secret is not necessarily to have a lot of tools, but to know the folks who do. I've spoken before about doing woodworking in the basement workshop of my friend Rod. Rod has basically every tool known to man. If you need it and he doesn't have it, you're probably looking for the wrong tool. In 10 years of knowing Rod, I can't think of a time that I needed something to complete a job around the house and he didn't already have what I needed. But there's a secret to gaining access to this great storehouse of tools. You have to know Rod. Once you know him, even only a little bit, I mean, he's not going to give something to a stranger. Okay, Rod would probably give something to a stranger, but you know what I mean. You just, once you know him a little bit, you're in. Same kind of thing here. Once you know Jesus, even only a little bit, once you profess a mustard seed-sized faith in his divine identity and resurrection from the dead, you're in. You have access by his divine power to everything you might need for the journey of following him. And there's one more thing here. The goal, the end of this journey, is Jesus himself. He's the one who calls us. He's the one who equips us. And at the end of the journey, he's our reward as well. Or as Peter puts it, he calls us to his own glory and excellence. In other words, our journey to be more like Jesus and do the things Jesus did doesn't result merely in our being like him. It results in our being with him. He's the initiator, the outfitter, the guide, and the goal. This thing is all about Jesus from start to finish. Now that all sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It's going to be a fun week here. But you're not 9. Most of you aren't. You don't want just the kid version of what God has done to equip us in Christ. You want to get a look at the full image, the grown-up version. Well, as it just so happens, verse 3 here does not stand alone. It's part of a longer sentence that runs all the way through verse 4, which itself is part of an even longer idea that runs all the way through verse 11. So let's take a look at the fuller picture of Peter's argument here. Listen to this, starting where we were. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, that's a mouthful, I'll grant you. But look at how much richer it makes the picture painted in just verse 3. Not only do we get Jesus as our prize when he equips us for the task of kingdom work, but in him we gain access to what Peter describes as his precious and very great promises. So, what are those? Well, are they not life and forgiveness and grace and presence and justification? Or are they not righteousness and joy and peace and hope that does not fade? Or are they not this very equipping that we've been talking about for service and the promise of the Holy Spirit and love that exists entirely without condition? Do a Google search. Pause this right now and do a Google search if you're listening for the promises of God. You'll find multiple websites detailing them, from lists of the top 5 to a book-by-book presentation of more than 3,000. These are what we have access to. But then look at what Peter says next. Through these promises, when we claim them as our own through Christ, we become partakers of the divine nature. Now, this isn't Peter making some kind of a mystical declaration that we become divine somehow, but rather that when we live out of these incredible assurances, we come to more and more fully reflect the character and nature of the God who made them. And in this last part of verse 4 may be the most exciting. Through these promises, which come out of the presence of Christ in our lives, we escape the sin-caused brokenness of the world. Now, that doesn't mean we're somehow shielded from the consequences of the sins of others. We can't control that, but rather that our own sinful nature is overcome. Well, do you see just how thoroughly equipped our Heavenly Father makes sure we are to do the work to which we've been called? He doesn't simply give us the tools that we need. He helps us prune away the things inside of us that can keep us from being as effective as we desire to be. The bottom line here is this. God has equipped us to follow Jesus. He's equipped us inside and out. There's nothing we need that He hasn't already made sure is available should the moment arise. God has equipped us to follow Jesus. So then, what do we need to do? Well, you already know this. We need to lean into what He's made available to us. Okay, but how? Peter tells us this. Look again, starting at verse 5. If you have faith in God, great! But that's not enough on its own if you want to experience the full riches of the life available in Him. If you have faith, make that faith real by pursuing virtue with it. And if you're curious where to even begin pursuing virtue, start with the classical virtues. Temperance, being self-controlled in all things. Prudence, making wise decisions. Courage, being committed to doing what's right regardless of the consequences. And justice, advocating for the good of those who are powerless to get it on their own. To virtue, add knowledge and awareness and commitment to what is true. Self-control, the ability to say no to you for the sake of someone else. Steadfastness, being unmovably committed to the path of Christ. Godliness, reflecting more and more fully the character of Christ. Brotherly affection, showing compassion and care and kindness for members of the body of Christ. And finally, love, intentionally working to see someone else become more fully who God designed them to be. And look at what Peter says about these things. If you practice these and get better at them, which if you practice them, you'll get better at them, they'll keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in your life-giving knowledge of Jesus. Well, do you see what He's done here? God has equipped us to follow Jesus, yes. He's equipped us and called us through Peter, like we've just been seeing, to pursue these character traits as a function of this equipping. But when we pursue these traits, they will themselves further equip us in pursuing the path of Christ. They both flow from and to a greater commitment to the life of Christ. Think about it like this. In any profession, there's a set of tools you need in order to get the job done. Without all the right equipment, you can't be as successful as you might otherwise be. But over time, as you use those tools, you begin to understand them better. You can use them more effectively. You become more competent with them. You become more competent in that profession generally. And as this happens, you gradually go from needing those tools to do the job to actually becoming the primary tool for doing the job. If you're going to become an able cook, for instance, there's a set of tools you need. You need good pots and pans. You need some tongs and spatulas. You need a good set of knives and so on and so forth. And as you use these tools and even add to them over time, you actually become a part of the equipment yourself. Your knowledge and experience with them and using them become a tool that someone else could use to become a better chef themselves. In this way, your knowledge becomes fruitful. If someone else wants to grow in your profession, they could buy all the same stuff you did to start, but they'd be even better off to have you along. You're better. Your accumulated wisdom and experience are better at advancing them more quickly than they could if they just bought the tools. Well, when we use these tools that God has given us, these things begin to radiate from our lives, enabling us to be more effective in the kingdom work we're doing, namely making disciples out of the people around us. God has equipped us to follow Jesus, and a part of that equipping is that we go on to equip others. In this, our knowledge of Jesus is fruitful and effective. On the other hand, if we don't use the equipment God has given us, Peter makes clear that we are more than just under-equipped. We would be like a carpenter who has a hammer hanging in his tool belt, which is strapped around his waist, but who routinely, nonetheless, pulls out his screwdriver to pound the nails. This isn't merely wrong, it's embarrassingly silly. People will look at such a person and laugh, maybe just to themselves, wondering what this imposter is doing posing as a carpenter. Well, switch context, and perhaps they might look at us and wonder what this imposter is doing posing as someone who's been cleansed of his former sins. If you're not only not using the equipment you need to do the job that you've been given, but growing in your expertise with them, then what are you doing? It's little more than playing a game. You can't win, all the while missing out on the rewards for actually being a part of the action. God has equipped us to follow Jesus, but if we don't use the equipment he's provided, we're wasting everybody's time. Okay, well, all of that's well and good, but it's still a little abstract. I mean, we've been talking about the equipment God has provided for us for the task of kingdom work now for 20 minutes, and we haven't been terribly specific as to what some of the equipment is. Let me give you then 5 very specific pieces of basic equipment God gives to enable us to follow him well. These are actually the things the kids are going to be talking about each night this week. And the first piece of equipment is that God cares for us. If we're going to follow God well, it's going to come out of a place of being confident that he actually cares for us. I read the story the other day of a young woman who was raised in a church and was still active in her community, but who was wooed almost to the point of joining ISIS. How? She posted a judging comment on an internet message board, and one of ISIS's skilled recruiters responded. What followed was a long conversation over the span of several months in which, while subtly filling her head with ISIS propaganda, he convinced her that he cared for her in a way no one else in her life did. She wasn't getting that from her family or her church. If we don't believe God actually cares for us, well, we may give him, you know, some kind of lip service because such a thing is expected in the community of which we're a part. We're not going to go very far in terms of truly following him. We'll stick with the folks whose care we trust or whose care we come to trust. The truth is, though, that God does care for us. His care, Jesus said, is like that of a shepherd who has lost 100 sheep, who has 100 sheep but loses one and puts his life on hold until he finds that one lost sheep, and then he throws a party with all the rest. God equips us to follow Jesus, and that's a piece of equipment we need. Far from only caring about us, though, Jesus gives us hope. As I said to a family mourning the loss of their mom and grandma this past week, he gives us hope by giving us a picture of a future so far beyond what we're currently facing that we're willing to keep walking through it in order to get there. And what could be sufficiently attractive to keep us moving forward in spite of the challenges we face here and now? Life. Specifically, eternal life that stretches beyond the grave. And we get this image, this key piece of equipment from the resurrection. Jesus gave us a glimpse when he raised Lazarus from the dead, but then the complete picture came when he himself did. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have hope that there is life after this one, no matter how it is currently going. The kingdom is coming, so we can keep pursuing it no matter how hard it gets. God has equipped us to follow Jesus, and this is a particularly important piece of it. Still, as grand a picture of the future as the resurrection offers us, it's a bit of a hard pill to swallow, right? Because in our whole experience, dead people stay dead. I've never seen anyone rise from the grave, and I don't suppose you have either, and no, The Walking Dead doesn't count if you're a fan. Because God equips us to follow him, Jesus comes to help us believe. Our God left historical evidence and clues that are convincing enough to turn the heart of even the most hardened skeptic. Like with Thomas, Jesus patiently shepherds us through our doubt when we stick with him and brings us the assurance we need to keep moving forward. And he does this because he loves us. He's absolutely committed to seeing us become fully who he designed us to be. This is the fourth basic piece of equipment God provides for us. When we wrap ourselves in the love of Jesus, moving forward in the kingdom work he's given us is easy. It's not difficult, but it's easy. Because of his love, we can move forward in the kingdom work to which we've been called with confidence. He wants the best for us. Not only that, but he has the power to bring that best to life. That's his love. And the thing about this love is that it's always oriented outwardly. When Jesus pours out his love on us, it's for the purpose of our pouring that love out on others. God has equipped us with his love to follow Jesus and to create more followers in our wake. Well, when we live in this love, we'll find the final basic piece of equipment, joy. Jesus brings us joy. Joy is a deep-seated commitment, contentment about life that is unaffected by our present circumstances. When we commit to following in the footsteps of Jesus, we receive in us the joy of the Holy Spirit. Well, this joy enables us to keep walking forward toward the kingdom, not as an act of drudgery, but as an act of gladness and rejoicing. And we see this joy on display in the lives of the apostles when, for instance, Paul and Silas in Acts 16 sang and praised the Lord with joy in spite of being in chains in prison. And as they used this tool, they became its heralds as well. And the joy spread throughout the prison as various other prisoners and guards gave their lives to Christ. God has equipped us to follow Jesus. And when we use the tools he's given, the people around us will be equipped as well. And when we stay on this path, as Peter said in verse 11, there will be richly provided for us an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, we will get there. All this next week then, these are the ideas the kids are going to be talking about. God has equipped us to follow Jesus, to get into the game, the action of kingdom work in the world around us. Here's then what you can do with this. First, make sure you're using all of this equipment yourself. As Peter said, to do otherwise and still claim the name of Jesus is to commit an act of fantasy and to forget your fundamental identity. If you're going to follow Jesus well, you've got to use the tools God has provided. God has equipped us to follow Jesus. The second thing you can do then is to pray for the kids who will be learning about the ways God has equipped us for this week. There are likely to be a number of kids here who have not yet been equipped. Pray for them, that they will come to understand more who God is, what he's done for them, and what they need to do in light of this. God has indeed equipped us to follow Jesus. Let's use what he's given and follow faithfully.